Have our leader come on a little earlier, but I would be wrong to come up here without saying thank you for your support.
Thank you
1,000 times for your support in making our scholarship banquet a success.
Thank you.
I could say more, but like I said, the time is on us. And without further ado, I would like to present to you a man that a lot of us heard of, but we don't know. A lot of us know of him, but we don't understand him. A lot of us say we understand him, but we do not do what he asks us to do. This is a man that if we listen to the message he's delivering to you and I, we would support that message 1,000%. This is a man who came to us in a time of darkness and brought a great light. And if you and I didn't listen to him, we would think he had some light of his own. But whenever we see the light that he brings to you and I, he always tells us that this is God's light I'm bringing. I don't have it, I'm just carrying it. I could say a lot more about him, but he wouldn't get a chance to come up here and bring us the message that he has to bring and still do what he has to do. So I want to present to you your leader, my leader, our leader, the leader of the American Muslim Mission, the Mujaddid, Imam Waris Deen Muhammad. Takbir! Takbir! Takbir!
Thank you. All praises due to Allah, guardian, evolver, cherisher, and sustainer of all the worlds. Peace and blessings be upon Prophet Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, and upon all his righteous servants. Again, peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you for the Imam Shah, and I'm very happy to be once again with you on this most significant occasion. It is always a pleasure for me to lend my support to any effort in the area of promoting education. And I believe that private schools are more needed now than ever before. And I consider it to be the most important thing in our community work today, that is education of our young children. The system of education, as we all know in the United States, is not functioning properly, and it doesn't seem to be recovering from the problems that it has suffered over the last 10 years or more. And we are not to depend upon the system of education. We are Muslims. We should depend upon our own knowledge, which is contained in Quran, and we should use that knowledge to guide our feet, to guide our hands, and to guide our community, and to provide a better life for our children. And we should be an example community for the system of education in the United States. We should be making a contribution to the system of education in the United States. The system of education in the United States doesn't claim to be a system that is a gift of God. We claim to represent a life that is a gift of God. So we should be presenting something of use to the system of education in the United States. So I'm very happy to be here to support this banquet dinner tonight, and I hope that all of you who have made a contribution will be greatly rewarded for your effort, which I know you will. If anyone makes a contribution to a good cause, we believe that Allah multiplies that good for them. That good comes back to you multiplied. So I'm sure that all of us will get great benefit from our support that we are lending to this fair tonight. I would like to briefly make a few comments, general comments, and then say a few words on the growth of knowledge for us. I wish I had more time to spend with you tonight, but we have other engagements, and we've made other commitments, and we have to move on very quickly tonight. As Muslims, our major concern is the availability of proper knowledge. Proper knowledge with us is knowledge supported by that knowledge that has originated from the gift of divine inspiration to the great prophets. The last of them is Muhammad of Arabia, called Muhammad ibn Abdullah. This great prophet is known as the prophet of Islam, properly the prophet of al-Islam. This prophet is known in history for his leadership as a liberator. He was responsible, because of the guidance of God, the blessings of God on him, for the liberation of slaves in the Dark Ages, before the Renaissance, before the revival of sciences in Europe. As many of you will recall, the sciences went down, the light of the sun, light of science, went down on Greece when it collapsed as empire and as a major source for enlightenment in the ancient world. When the light went down in Greece, it went down gradually, it went down all over the known world. And it was the Muslims, under the leadership of Prophet Muhammad, who was not an intellectual, who was not an educated man, who was not a schooled man. He's called Muhammad the mother wit man. Umiyya means the man who had no more than mother wit. But this man, though not literate, not able to read, is responsible for liberating slaves, responsible for bringing dignity back to women, responsible for bringing the opportunity for women to enter business, for them to get equal education. He's responsible for dignifying humanity, common humanity, and he's responsible for dignifying knowledge at a time when knowledge was ignored in the world. This great prophet said of the believers that knowledge, higher education, is the lost property of the believer. This is just one of his statements on the importance of knowledge, or higher knowledge, in the life of society. We could go on to recite many of his great sayings on the importance of life in society. I will just recite one other of his sayings, and that is, knowledge is an obligation on the believer from the cradle to the grave. And I don't consider myself too close to the grave, but I do hope to one day get a degree. I hope to get a PhD, a doctorate degree, in some course, some study that would enhance my own worth to you as a leader. So we all should strive for better, for more education. We should strive for more education. But most of all, we should strive for the right discipline of mind, for the right discipline of mind. And the correct discipline of mind requires moral life in all of us. Until we restore the moral life in all of us, we cannot go very far with anything. Businesses collapse for us. Leadership in the professions collapse for us. It is because the moral life has never been properly established for us. We have had a sentimental a sentimental kind of a relationship or involvement in morality. We were told to love Christ. And after we were told to love Christ, we were told to love and honor Elijah Muhammad because he told us we were black and told us the white man was his devil. You know? And since then, it has been just a sentimental kind of involvement with moral development. We have to see moral development as a requirement of in academic life. You cannot progress academically until you establish your moral life. You can get all the books, but you'll be loaded down like the donkey. And I'm sure you've heard the saying, as Muslims, you've heard the saying that those who get great, great volumes of knowledge but don't have the right discipline of heart and mind, they are like the donkeys carrying a load of books on their backs. So we don't want to be like that. Dear beloved people, before I leave you tonight, I feel it necessary to also speak on the burden that is on us as Muslims in America because of the universal, international issues. Iran, Afghanistan, these two new developments, new problems for the Muslim world and for the national world, have awakened in people of the nations a desire to know more about this religion. And because of that, the eyes of the world will be more on the American Muslims in mission, the American Muslims in this country. We have to stay abreast, we have to be informed, and we have to take a position. Muslims in America have to take a position. We cannot go on with the sheepish mind and the Uncle Thomas kind of spirit thinking that we are not free enough in the United States to stand up on international issues. We have to make a stand on international issues. Human dignity is a universal problem, it's an international issue. Palestine is an international issue. Afghanistan is an international issue. And Iran, the situation there is an international issue. We are Muslims, we belong to the great body of Muslims all over the world. Where do we stand on these issues? We have to make up our mind. And it has to be a moral position that we take, and it has to reflect the kind of discipline that we are recognized for in America. And that's a discipline that doesn't respect any individual if there's no moral to respect. If you recognize and respect the leadership of Imam W.D. Muhammad, then you see everything from a moral perspective. And we are not interested in the nationalism or in the politics of things, we are interested in the morals of things. And I believe that if we stand upon the moral of these issues, we will speak courageously in defense of human justice and social justice. And if we do that, we'll get respect as an American Muslim body in this country. But if we don't do that, all of our efforts will be ignored. Our efforts to get business for ourselves, our efforts to build our Claire Muhammad schools, all of our efforts will be ignored because the people who are not strong enough to preach the same thing in the world that they preach for themselves in their local places are not worthy to be heard by the people of the world. Dear beloved people, we have shied away from international recognition. We have shied away from global responsibility. But now we have to broaden our minds and think globally, and we have to get involved in the global issues of mankind. Yes, and if we do this, we'll get respect. Yes, I would like to close out with just a few words on the nature of growth. God says in the Quran that he has created us to grow. If we understand the growing nature of man, the survival urge in man, we understand that the survival urge begins as a personal interest. We are involved in surviving for ourselves. You know, we feel the pain in our own stomachs first, and we feel the need for improvements in our own life. We feel these things first. We feel the heat of the sun in our own bodies first. But feeling the heat and the suffering in ourselves make us think of other people. This is just natural for us. So we find that human being has to grow. He has to grow as a moral being. as a moral being. And if we grow as a moral being, then we can grow as a community. If we grow as a community, sooner or later, we're going to realize that community cannot survive without academic growth.
That's right.
Nations have come up because they were powerful, they were united, they were nationalistic, they were solidly together, they were bands of clannish people. Oh, they could really hug together, they could stick together, and they could meet enemies as a solid force, united together. You've heard of the great hordes, and you've heard of the pirates of the sea, the great pirates of the sea. Look how strong their unity was. Look how strong their sense of social bonds, of family bonds was. But what brought about their downfall? That absence of academic development. We have had a movement. We call that movement the Freedom Movement. We call it the Civil Rights Movement. We call it the Black Movement. I would like to call it the Human Movement, you know, because we have been deprived of our humanity more than we've been deprived of anything else. We've been locked up in jails. We have worn the heavy iron chain. We've done all of that. But the worst crime against us have been the denial of our humanity. And we have had to validate our humanity before the world, because all over this world, those who wanted to lift up white supremacy so that we will remain forever slaves under them, they presented us to the world as monkeys with tails, as subhumans, etc.
Yes,
in Japan, I've heard the story from Japanese as well as from soldiers,
yes,
as well as from Belalian soldiers who fought overseas. Mm-hmm. I've heard the stories of the ugly subhuman pictures that was painted of us.
Yes,
the denial of equal representation in the political body of the United States. The denial of equal representation in the economic concerns of the United States. All of this was based upon us being not quite as human as for other people. So we have a human struggle, and we should realize this. And when we prey on each other, when we get involved in crime and prey on each other and suck the blood of each other, when we stand upon each other as slave masters, instead of loving each other, encouraging each other to grow up intellectually, to grow up academically, and to grow up as a free-thinking human being, appreciating his own individual worth and contributing his worth to the total worth, the social society worth, then we are doing something worthwhile. But if we are encouraging this kind of selfish jealousy, this envy of each other, this desire to be on top of the heap, in the light all by ourselves, then we are helping white supremacy.
Right.
We are helping to keep white supremacy existing in this world. Dear beloved people, human being, as God says in the Quran, has been created to grow. And we grow because of the natural urge in us for survival. Human beings are first moved by two prime forces, the force of appetite and the force of fear. We are hungry and we are fearful. I find that the Belalian movement, we might call it Freedom Movement, Civil Rights Movement, whatever you want to call it, I find that it is still just that primitive. It is dominated by hunger and fear.
Yes,
we have to move out of that stage of progression and move on to the community concern. Community concern make you forget about your own immediate hunger for the long-distant range, for the long-range survival of the whole. We have to move out of that to come into the community consciousness where we will think of community survival. And if we come into that kind of mind, soon we will understand what is the academic need for a community. And the academic need for a community is not to go to somebody else's school, is not to operate in somebody else's system, but to know that system so well that you call that system your system.
Yes.
And to know it that well, you have to have equal knowledge. Assalamu alaikum. Bible. And if we come into that kind of mind, soon we will understand what is the economic, the academic need for a community. And the academic need for a community is not to go to somebody else's school, is not to operate in somebody else's system, but to know that system so well that you call that system your system.
Yes. Right.
And to know it that well, you have to have equal knowledge. As-salamu alaykum.